yesterday in the service, I couldn't get to the end of that thought, but it was still long, so I didn't want to go on anymore. But we see in Genesis 32, and Lord, we pray that you give us a word from your heart. Amen. In Genesis 32, actually we see, Jacob is the, we could say the ultimate deal maker, the top, I don't want to give a bad name for business people, but you know, he's a business guy, he's a guy who can make deals, and he can always get the deal to be in his favor. He can always get it so that he benefits and you don't so much. We have seen this in his life, and he's more than a businessman. He's also a liar, he's a cheater. And he did this everywhere he went. He got from his brother what he wanted. He got from his father what he wanted, whether they wanted to give it to him or not. Then he got from his uncle what he wanted, and more than what his uncle wanted to give him. So he was a guy who was able to put his life together pretty well. And nevertheless, he was a guy who was most of his life on the run. He was running from someone. He was running from his brother, then he was running from his uncle. Then God kind of saved him from his uncle, even though he should have gotten into a lot of trouble, but he didn't, but it was only because of God. And then he was meeting his brother Esau in this chapter, and he's terrified of that meeting with good reason, because Esau, to be honest, wanted to kill him. And this is an interesting picture, that this is a guy who knows how to live life. If you look at him, he's successful. He has a lot of kids, he has two wives. Well, I don't know if that's success, but he has two wives and he has a lot of kids, and he has money, he has animals, and he has all that someone would want. And in a way you could say that he's very good at putting his life together and building himself, building his life. And nonetheless, his life is a mess. You know, nonetheless, his life, he's fleeing. It's not like he imagined. It's not like he wanted it. And this is so often the case with people who build their lives, present themselves as good deal makers, as present themselves as people who know how to build things and how to gain and how to win and how to get to the top and how to get the better deal. A lot of times, well, depending of course what kind of a person it is, but if there is a lying part like with Jacob, if there is a cheating part like with Jacob, if there is that kind of thing, then there's a problem in their lives. Actually, Psalm 18:26, and a lot of people don't like this verse, but it says, with the pure you will show yourself pure. This is about God. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And then with the froward, which means that with the duplicitous, with the guy who is lying, you will show yourself froward. It says about God that with the pure you will show yourself pure, and with the froward you will show yourself froward. You will, we could say it this way, that the pure person will see your purity, and the lying person will not see God as a pure God. The lying person will not see God as a good God. And this is an interesting thought, because is God froward? Is God a cheating God? Is God a lying God? And we would say in a heartbeat, of course not. Of course he's not. And there is no question. There is no question that he is not a hard God. He is not a tough God. He is not a nasty God. He's not a lying God. He's not a manipulative God. He's not a terrifying God. Okay? But if in my heart I am all those things, then I will project that to God. And we see this in Matthew. This is just a side note, actually. Sorry that I went this way, but I just want to say this for some reason. I have no idea why. But in Matthew 25:24, it says that that servant who got the one talent, he says, I know you're a hard man, and you reap where you did not sow, you gather where you did not, you know, where you had no right to gather. And like, our question would be, why do you think that way? Your master gave you a talent, and honestly, it seems there was no good reason. He gave you a chance, and yet you think that he's a hard man. He gave you an opportunity to advance yourself, and yet you think that he's a nasty guy. And why do you think that way? And the answer is this, what we just saw in Psalm 18, that in the heart of man, there is that kind of a thinking, and so he projects that to his master. And this is the same with us and God. And Jacob lived that kind of a life. He had that kind of a life. He took what he wanted. He connived everybody out of what they had. He cheated his way through everyone. And once again, I'm saying, I don't want to give businessman a bad name, because that's not business. That's a liar. That's a cheater. And some businessmen, of course, are like that, but not everyone, thank God. But this guy, and then he has this in his whole life, and his life is a lesson to us, that it's not worth living like that. That maybe you are good like that. Maybe you put your life together like that. Maybe you're successful like that. But then on the other hand, while you're gathering all those things you want, he was on the run. He was always afraid of someone. He was always escaping someone. He was always, well, when he wasn't escaping someone, then he was cheated by his own sons, and he was lied to, and he believed that his beloved child died, and it was his own sons who fooled him, just like he fooled his own father. And that's what happens with us if we live that kind of a life. And God says in Jacob to us, don't do that, don't live that kind of a life. And then we come here, and what happens here? He meets Esau, and there is a problem. Esau wants to kill him, so Jacob knows how to solve it. He sends his flocks and servants and more and more and more, and they all say, this is a gift to Esau, this is a gift to Esau. And then he sends his children, because they are cute probably, and they are related to Esau, you know, he's their uncle, and you know, maybe his heart will soften, and then his wives, and you know, and he sees them, and you know, and his family, and then he will come. So basically his idea is to soften up his brother by gifts, you know, by cute kids, you know, and it's like what a, you know, how nasty is this guy, you know, he's using his family, and he's saying, this is the greatest chance we have. If, you know, well, if he cuts them down, I can still run away, you know. If he kills them all, I can still escape. You know, it's like, that's the way this guy is. It's not a guy that I would want as my friend, you know. Like he would, you know, I would lose a lot on that friendship, and you know, he would just use me. And then what happens is, and this is what we see in verse 21, so went the present over before him, so all of it went before him, and himself lodged that night in the company, and rose up that night, took his two wives, two women servants, 11 sons, and passed over the fort Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what that he had. He sent them all over, and Jacob was left alone. Okay, now he's out of options. Now he's used everything he could. And then we read, there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. And then and this is God wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob is saying, I am not giving up, even to God. I am not. He has nothing left. He has no way to manipulate. He has no way to lie anymore. He has no way to cheat anymore. Esau knows him exactly how he is. Esau knows that he's a liar, he's a cheater. And, you know, he has no way to pretend any other way. And yet, he's not giving up. He's a tough guy, you know, he's not going to give up. He's a hard man, he's not going to give up. And even with God, he wrestles. And yesterday in the message, I said this at the very end, this very simple thought. When God wants to take something away from your life, don't wrestle with him. Because he wants to take something out that would kill you. He wants to take something out that would poison you. He wants to take something out so that he could plant something better in place of it. and don't wrestle with him like Jacob did here. And Jacob wrestles with God and all that. And then this simple thought, as I was reading Philippians 3 this morning, that portion with the dogs and everything, but Paul here describes himself, and he says, look, in Judaism, I was a pretty awesome guy. I had everything. I had all the merit badges. I had every you know, like the Soviet, you know, like generals, you know, like with their chests covered deep with medals. You know, they didn't have enough chest, so many medals. That was Paul in a way. And then he says here a very simple, very important point. Verse 7, Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, animal poop, you know, that I may win Christ. Okay, so I just want to close on this simple thought, that Paul was the exact opposite in the Holy Spirit of what Jacob was. And that's like such a great picture, because Paul said, wait a minute, if I have all this, then I cannot know Christ, because I will come to Christ with saying, I'm an Israelite, Jesus, I deserve something. And Jesus says, well, you can only know me if you don't deserve anything. Oh, but I'm an Israelite. Well, just as you said about weakness, actually, just as I heard, it's such a great point. In weakness, you can know me. But I am strong, I'm an Israelite. And God says, well, you either drop that or you will not. I know some people get offended at that, but that's just New Testament for you. But I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Well, I have some you know, specialness to me. And God says, just drop that. Come to me without that. Don't be that, you know, like you come to me in your weakness. But I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. And Jesus says, you're a sinner. You're saved by grace. That's how you can know me. But I'm a Pharisee. I was so perfect. No, you were not. You had problems. You had issues. But I was zealous. Yeah, and in your zeal, you were killing the Christians. And, you know, and so on and so forth. You can go down the list, and in a way we could say, we all have to come to God with, like, alone, like Jacob was alone, and without anything in my hands in a way, and I need to say, God, I am coming needy, empty, I need you, help me. And if I come with that weakness, then I find also the power of God, and I find also Christ, and I find also liberty. And that's what Jacob had a problem with, because he fought, and he got hurt in the process. Don't fight God when he says, drop that, because you could get hurt in the process, and God doesn't want to hurt you, but whatever it takes, he wants you to know him. And this is like the huge point, I think, here, that Paul willingly dropped it all. He was very happy to drop it all. He said, if I can know Christ, I don't care. I don't care if I'm an American, if I'm a Cypriot, if I'm Finnish, if I'm Hungarian, if I'm, you know, a Russian, whatever I am, I'm a man, a woman, old, successful, young, famous, pretty, ugly, lame, healthy, whatever. I just drop it. And I am before you, God, without anything. And I want to know you, and I'm happy to drop it, because he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Like, I'm happy to drop it all if I can know Jesus Christ my Lord. And like, that's where we need to be. Let's not resist that, but let's willingly, happily drop it for the sake of knowing Christ, because there is what Pastor Yuka said just a moment ago, you know, like, me and God, I can know him. And that's what I need. I need it so bad. Amen.